Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
Yes, this is a great segment where we just can let ourselves off the chain. And what do we call bullshit on? What are we saying? This has got to stop. This is outrageous. I'm as mad as hell, and this has got to stop. So I'll start off with it today. I was at the footy on Good Friday, the hospitality of the South Sydney Rabbitohs in the Churchill Club, and it was wonderful. But I had some people with me who had never been to an NRL game before. We've all had a nice cold beverage. We've had a beautiful lunch. And then we go to sit down and watch the footy. And like, I know that you guys all have differing opinions about the amount of penalties that referees are giving out at the moment. But from a point of view of just being a man who loves rugby league, just sitting there watching the game, and you just can't get interested in the game because it feels like not even a set of six goes by. There's a penalty. There's a try. They stop it and send it upstairs. There's just no flow in the game at the moment. And it's like for these people who hadn't been at the game before, they're like, I can see them getting on their phones and checking Facebook and Twitter and God knows what, because, you know, there's just, I know that's a problem. We've just got to get to the bottom of it, start sin binning more players or something, but I'm just got to call bullshit, Hoops, on how many penalties they're giving away at the moment.
I got to call bullshit. I got to call bullshit on the people you hang around. You need a whole new group of friends. Okay? If you're taking people to the footy and they're picking up the Who magazine and Gossip Girl and all this and Dolly and checking Facebook, right, you got to stop buying friends and walking in there like you're popular, right?
100%.
And get real people to go
well,
to the footy.
They were visiting from overseas, Gordon, but don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Call bullshit.
All right, who's going to be next?
I tell you what I call bullshit on. I think this whole saga, this whole cricket saga, I don't really care whether they tampered with the ball or not, but they all should have stood up. They play a game where someone bowls a ball at about 150 kilometres out an hour at them. So if you're man enough to go out there in the middle and stand there and face that, which I wouldn't like to do, and I've watched the footy players try to face Brett Lee, it would be so daunting. Yet to go and stand and talk to someone with a microphone in their hand or a pen and paper and answer the questions about the actions that you did. All three of them should have sat there together. And another thing, you don't get shielded by your kids and your wife.
Yeah.
She didn't play the game. The kids didn't play the game. Everybody else tried to shield. Everybody that's famous in the world shields their kids away from the media. They've used them as a barrier, as a bumper bar. And I thought that was a little bit distasteful. I thought it was wrong and it was bad parenting. So I call bullshit on your phone.
I call bullshit.
Well said, Gordy. Who would like to go next?
Well, look, I actually left my list at home today, so I'll just cover up a couple. So I'll call bullshit on the Channel 9 spin saying that they're thinking about approaching Fatty Vorton to come back and host the footy show with the while Aaron Molan is off on maternity leave.
In June.
The fact is that the show's in crisis. It's plummeting in the ratings. Fatty Vorton's already been approached and already said, mate, I can't believe you blokes would sack me after 25 years and then ask me to come back and host the show when the new host is off on maternity leave. So the answer is a big fat no. So look, that might say that he might not be coming back because there might be some sort of deal come. If I was Channel 9, I would be spinning it that while she's on maternity leave, you bring him back just to step in. He does such a great job. You know what? They're going to decide to go on with it. That's the way they'll handle it. I also want to bring up a little one. Todd Carney was in at the NRL this week talking to the integrity unit, and there's a little bit of talk now that they've put their recommendation forward and that will go through to Todd Greenberg, who will make a decision on whether Todd Carney comes back. And we all expect him to come back if he does in the NRL and play for the Cowboys up there in Townsville. And I call bullshit on that, Anthony. I will say, I'm saying that if he does come back to the NRL, it will be through Newtown and for the Melbourne Storm.
Ooh, wow.
Bullshit.
Okay, well, we might revisit that a little bit later on. What about you, Hoops? What would you like to call bullshit on?
I'm going to call bullshit on Andrew Fifita Maroon. And look, I think it's terrific that he's decided he wants to respect his heritage and represent Tonga. But the way that he has handled this whole situation where he was selected to play for Australia in last year's World Cup, I thought it was an insult that he allowed himself to be picked to represent the green and gold jumper. Then at the 11th hour decided, oh, hang on a minute, sorry, Mal. Now I want to go and play for Tonga. Then this latest fiasco around the podcast and how he's going to announce the fact that he doesn't want to play for New South Wales. As Spud Carroll touched on a minute ago, he's not in the top six front rowers in New South Wales on form at the moment. Anyway, I think it cheapens the jumper, and it, not only that, but it's a huge disservice to all the champion forwards who've worn it. I'm thinking of Paul Harrigan, Cement Gillespie, Steve Roach, Wayne Pearce, all these sorts of players. They must just shake their heads at the way that this bloke carries on at times. I just think he's a cheap alarm clock, and good riddance if you don't want to play for New South Wales and Australia.
I call bullshit.
All right, so this is what the boys, who they can find a issue, 90% of the time it's related to rugby league, and the boys, it's called issue on something that's really grinding their gears. They're just saying, I call bullshit on that. It's supposed to go this way, and now it's gone that way. So I know that you've got one brewing up inside your hoops. I know that you've been sitting on it all week. We've had a couple of phone chats about it. You want to call bullshit on what?
Well, this struck me out of left field this morning when the paper lobbed over the front fence and Michael Clarke, the retired test captain, is saying that, look, I'm putting my hand up, I'm fit and available if you need me in the wake of Sandpaper Gate. The telephone's on to James Sutherland and the powers that be at Cricket Australia. Just give me a call and I'll come back and rescue the side. Gee whiz, Maroon. He was one of the most divisive captains of all time, Michael Clarke. His average speaks for itself. He was an absolute champion when he went out to bat. But in terms of his personality, when he left, I would wage a fair amount of money that he was one of the most unpopular Australian test captains in the history of cricket. And I think that if you asked any one of the current players who were in there, I think he'd be hard-pressed finding much support. So I call bullshit on that Michael Clarke will be back in any form wearing the baggy green.
All right, here we go.
I call bullshit.
And I call bullshit on you, Hoops. Because you've taken a rugby league show 3 minutes before a game's about to kick off and you've called bullshit on some cricket captain that wants to do a John Farnham and make a comeback. And that's your I call bullshit. Well, I'm calling bullshit on you. Right.
I call bullshit.
Kenny, would you restore some order, please?
Well, I just want to talk about the investigation into the Joe Kelly and Neil Baer and obviously Bob Fulton. And I just want to ask this. In any transaction for a deal to be made, how many people have got to be involved in it? At least two. Is that fair to say? So we've come out the other day, they've given Joe Kelly a 12-month suspension, they've given Neil Baer a 12-month suspension, they've said Bob Fulton's no longer welcome in the game, and yet not one word on the player managers who also did the deal.
Absolutely.
So if the NRL integrity is all about the integrity of the game, the game's about this and about getting rid of this, why have the player managers who were part of the transaction,
yes,
part of the negotiation, who have to be credited to have their job, why are no charges up against them?
Amen to that.
So I call bullshit on this NRL spin.
Bullshit.
And finally, we go to my good friend from the airport, Fester. Gordon Tallis, what would you like to call bullshit on?
I'd like to call bullshit on the open ceremony.
Oh,
the Commonwealth Games.
Well, okay. Didn't you just hear what Maroon just said about Hoops? Are you paying attention to your own show?
Yes,
sorry, we'll go ahead then.
Well, you know what? How many years have they had to prepare for it? How many gymnasts that we have that could do a Cirque du Soleil type of some sort of great...
I love where you're going.
Like here at this Olympic Stadium, I watched Greg Norman hit fake golf balls into the crowd.
Right.
Yep.
Can't we get more direction than that? Can't we get...
You know, we need
something to get
a car doing burnouts.
Some more imagination then.
Tug of war.
A guy, and I love my surf lifesavers, but someone in a yellow long sleeve shirt, look like he's been at the bar all day trying to do the hokey pokey, does not sell Australia as good as what it could.
But on the plus side, the guy responsible for that is now responsible for the NRL.
No.
Ah, good point.
No, he wasn't. The creative people.
Right. He's in charge of them, Gordon.
Hey?
He's in charge of
no
them.
One.
But I tried to make the I call bullshit not about Peter Beattie this week.
Hey.
You couldn't help. You dragged me into it, didn't you?
No, because the creative people...
They bring me back in.
Those creative people, Paul, they're just out there somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's not as easy as you think, Gordon.
They're all wearing white...
Do you know what? Mate. And I call bullshit on you, Maroon, because every time I get in the car, you're fired up today. It was the angriest I've seen you.
Yeah.
You were talking about your wife.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Do you want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
Well, because we just had a massive blow-up at East Gardens, my wife and I. And here's why, boys. Because my wife, because she's getting older and she's a grandmother now, like when she asks you to do something, she explains why. Like she's like, for an instance, on Friday, she yells that down from upstairs, "Han, can you turn the air conditioning on?" "No worries." "Do you know why I want you to turn the air conditioning on?" "Not really." "Because up here, the house is made of wood and it gets hotter up here than it does downstairs." "Righto." "You know, can you stack the groceries? When you stack the groceries, can you put the cans in the bag first, then put the veggies on top?" "No worries." "Do you know why I want you to do that?" "No, because the cans won't crush." "Righto." And so,
because you know what your problem is.
Yes.
Because you're a moron, right? So your problem is. Because when she says, do you know why when you put the cans in and then the veggies, you're supposed to say, "Of course I do," so they won't get squashed.
Yeah.
But you keep saying no, so she obviously knows you're a moron as well, so she has to explain it to you.
She knows I am, Paul.
Because I know your wife, and of the two of you, I'd much rather go and talk to her than you, because you're a moron.
Well, that's lovely. So anyway, hopefully she's not listening, and yes, she does know I'm a moron, but she's got to just stop that behaviour. All right, so this is where we just let the boys just go for their life. What have you heard that you've just gone, "Oh, that's absolute crap. Come on, I can't stand for that. That's absolute nonsense. You are a fair dinkum gibberer. What did you have for breakfast? 4 long necks. No, that doesn't make sense." So who would like to start us off today with "I call bullshit"?
Yeah, look, I just like to call bullshit on the people who are critical of Greg Alexander's criticism of Jonathan Thurston. He came out last week, Greg Alexander, and he asked the question, "Has Jonathan Thurston gone one season too long?" And understandably, a lot of people have rushed into Thurston's defence, but all of them have come in to defend Thurston and say Alexander was out of line. He had no right to say that. And then in the defence, the very next sentence is generally, "He's not playing well." But, well, that's all Greg Alexander did. And if you are an ageing player, you are at the end of your career and you play a season, you go into your last season and you are out of form, it doesn't matter who you are open to criticism, as Gordon said earlier, like everybody else. And the very fact that it is your final season leads to the question, have you gone a season too long?
Mm.
That's just the fact of it. So you can't argue that. But all the criticism of Brandy, and yeah, Justin Hodges said it was disrespectful. It wasn't disrespectful.
It was honest.
It was honest. But don't criticise Greg Alexander for asking a question people are asking around the game, and at the same time, in your defence of Thurston, say, admit he's not playing well, admit he's coming back from shoulder surgery, admit all the problems in his game at the moment, and then hop into Brandy for actually being the one that's got the courage to come out and say it. So I think you play the game, as Gordon said. If you want to let them write all the glowing stories, you want to let them put up the statues for you, you've got to wear a little bit of the hurt too.
Bullshit.
And I think Greg Alexander, probably because the Cowboys are played on Fox most of the time, I reckon he's called Jonathan Thurston's games more than any other guy. So there's no doubt that...
I think, Gordon, when you played the game at the level that Greg Alexander did, he's won a premiership. Yep. He's entitled to have a strong view.
Mm.
If anyone's earned the right, it's Brandy, it's yourself.
You know what,
if you've been out there and you've done it, then you are well qualified to give an honest opinion on people.
And let's be honest, no one likes... I sat in front of Phil Gould when I was doing Super League, and he told me I was a bench player, and I was lucky to play Origin, to my face.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there in a meeting. I walked outside because then my manager, George Wyman, said, "Mate, go outside, you don't need to hear this." It was the best thing I ever heard. Criticism.
Yeah.
And... mate, I didn't start crying or anything. I didn't like it, right? And it was motivation when I played against the field goal side to prove that I wasn't a bench player to him. But if I'm prepared when people say, "Oh, mate, gee whiz, this, well, I've got to be prepared when people don't like what I say or the way I played or whatever. And it's just like the Dragons fans thought I was good when I was playing for them. As soon as I left, they thought I was the biggest arsehole that ever walked on a footy field because I left their club. Simple as that. So it's all... yeah, if I was prepared for them to cheer me one week, the next time I went back, they threw corn cobs at me. apples, 50-cent pieces, oranges, chicken bones. Oh, mate, they were into me. This bloke must have had the old Red Rooster, you know, the big pack. Mate, he didn't throw the pineapple, so he must have eaten the crumb pineapple. But he hit me with everything. But that's what you got to take, don't you?
Oh, would you like to go next, Gordon, in I Call Bullshit?
That was actually mine, but you know what? Okay, right. That was so my just, column all today. Right.
Okay, so
in
here,
the Sunday Mail. But you know, I want to call bullshit. I want to just touch on the stadiums again. Just stadium prices and more of the drinks, pies, hot dogs, yeah, whatever it is. Mm. I call bullshit on whoever runs all the stadiums. Bring it down. Don't hide behind. We got it for 12 weeks or this or this or this. Make it affordable for families to go.
Yeah, bullshit. All right, boys, I call bullshit on this. I called a game on Thursday night at Allianz Stadium, the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. Now, I'm not so, I just want to say up front, this is not a Rabbitohs-Roosters thing, but Roosters supporters, not all of them, they're not all like this, but a group of Roosters supporters sitting in front of the broadcast box,
Gus Wallen,
were jeering Jake Friend and insisting to Robbo, the Trent Robinson, who was beside us in his box, insisting that they replace Jake Friend with young Radley, to the point where they were chanting Radley's name, booing Jake Friend when he got the football, and cheered when Radley went on and Jake Friend came off. Now,
did you get Gus Wall in those seats?
Gussie would have been in some corporate somewhere, mate.
Oh, okay,
so. I'm just, and we're seeing it now too with Parramatta supporters on social media bagging their own players and bagging their own coach. I don't think you want to be bagging individuals that are involved in your own club. I get that everybody who loves rugby league and has a team like I do, we all go through a stage where we're frustrated with what's happening. But to bag a player like Jake Friend, who has given that club such good service over so many years, I just think it's out of line. I just think...
Oh, so it's all right when Jonathan Thurston gets some. I call bullshit on you. You sat there quiet when someone was bagging Jonathan Thurston. Now there's some saying something about Jake Friend.
I think
anything to get into the Roosters for you, isn't it?
No, it's not anything to do with that at all. If you can't fancy me thinking one of you three might back me on something. Fancy thinking that. Well, that's I call bullshit for another one. And let's move on.
I call bullshit on that segment. This what week. I call bullshit on your segment. And you try to sell to us every day. Bullshit.
And this hashtag NRL talk up the game, I think, is just a big waste of air. The fact is, we talk about the game that we're, according to whatever the narrative is in the game at the time. Now, to try and sit there and spin it that you can only talk about the positives in the game. Mm. This is a problem of the NRL's creation, their inability to be transparent with people, which leads to all the whispers and rumours and innuendo around the game. Their inability to sit there and lead with strength and to lead with clear, decisive decisions adds to all the speculation around the game. It adds to the debate around the game. Their inability to get people to turn up to press conferences or their inability to get people to get out within the game and promote the game has over time, and I'm talking 15 years or more, has over time led to a slowly diminishing rugby league landscape in the media. There's far more AFL and soccer, and we're so democratic about other sports we put in the paper. Now, the reason you don't get it in Melbourne is because the AFL have for many, many years jealously guarded their territory and won't let other sports get into that. Because of our inability to get out and promote our own game from within, and I'm saying from within, we then lose space to the other sports because newspapers have to put out something, don't they? And then what happens is in this less rugby league we've got to write about the news that's going on within the game. So I think the NRL's a victim of its own creation.
Bullshit!
And I feel exactly that way.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
have you got one, Gordon?
Well, just on what Paul said, I think it's our ability to talk about everything that's on the game. And I think some guys that write about the game don't know what they're writing, so they go for the off-field drama. I've sat at press conferences where Wayne Bennett has said, mate, you saw the game, why don't you write something constructive about it? But they're writing about the negativity that has happened in the game and all that, and people don't want to read that all the time. And I know that they don't want fairy floss for every meal either.
Can I just explain that? As a journalist sitting at a game, and you ask a coach a question at a press conference after, and he says, well, you saw the game, you go and write about it. With due respect, and this, see, coaches will then try and get it the other way. With due respect, what happens there is the readers don't want to hear what I thought about a send-off. or a controversial tackle, or whether Billy Slater dropped the ball. They want to hear what Wayne Bennett thinks, or they want to hear what Craig Bellamy thinks, or they want to hear what Billy Slater thinks. The only reason I say what I think is because those guys haven't done it in that situation. So at press conference, I get annoyed when coaches at press conference say, well, you saw the game, you say it, you write about it. They don't want to hear it from me. They want to hear the coach say it. That's why we ask the question. It's only when the coaches don't want to buy into it, or don't want to,
yeah, but we don't have to
help,
get negative.
Don't want to contribute.
One of your colleagues, Phil Rothfield, wrote the other day, or was on, he got interviewed for Matty Johns on the Matty Johns show. He said, if I go out there and write a great story about someone that's worked in the canteen or worked in the game for 65 years and given back to the great game, no one wants to read it. But if I write Josh Dugan got kicked out of the RSL, it's the leading story. So that's what he's doing. So then they talk about that.
But Gordon, that's the truth.
He actually said it himself.
But that's the truth.
So then you write all the negative stuff. And then you say why people...
Okay, people
don't want to turn on. They can't.
No, because
that.
You know why? The people doing the whinging are the people who are also fueling the negative stuff. Because if you sit down and you on see, in the old days before the internet, you would judge a story based on
so
what you
were the old days.
Yeah, before the internet. I know. But you would judge a story based on what you considered news sense, okay? And you'd say, well, I think that story... And we would have people have better news sense than others within the newsroom.
Yep.
And you got promoted or demoted according to that.
So Backpage was the big story, was it?
You'd say, well, I think this... We'd have a daily meeting. I think this is a Backpage story. And we'd all have a judgment call. But what you can do now with the internet, you can look in real numbers what people read. Now, if the rugby league audience, the rugby league community is reading stories about Josh Dugan getting kicked out of a RSL club more than they're reading about James Maloney's ability to turn clubs around his first season he's there, whose fault is that? That's not the journo's fault. That's what the community is saying they want to read.
Yeah.
And none of us are in the business of writing a stories that no one wants to read or talking about stuff no one wants to listen to. We want to give the audience what they will come back for more.
Is every other code as honest as us about what we about?
No,
our
I don't
dirty
think
laundry?
They are. I don't believe they are.
The AFL, for example, I think they're very good at sweeping
their carpet,
stuff.
Their carpet is that tall?
It's got lumps all through it. It's like the Blue Mountains.
I'll tell you something, though. This is the difference between the NRL and AFL, okay?
Like the three sisters.
I was talking to Todd Greenberg this week, and we were talking about this talk the game up and all that sort of business, okay? And he said...
You've just called bullshit.
Yeah, I have. and because, I don't believe it. That's a sling at the media saying that they're driving all the negative stuff. It's not. This is where the game has got itself. But see, and Todd acknowledges this, because within the AFL, there's an agreement between AFL House and the clubs about how they manage the message in the game and how they sell the game, because they have a belief that if a damaging story comes out of a blue between, say, Carlton and the AFL, the negative impact it has costs everybody money. And it has a negative impact on the whole game. In our game, we don't care about it. We don't care. So that's why we get the clubs who will snipe at the NRL, who will snipe at the media. We get all the different parties. Basically, we're like little, communities on our own. We look after
little
ourselves.
Tribes.
Okay, little tribes is the word I'm after. Now, what's happened is, but a good example of how the NRL is trying to manage it is a few weeks back, and Todd told me this, a few weeks back when Cronulla and Melbourne played, and it was that game with the 33 penalties. Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith went in after the game, and everybody's jumping on the back of the penalties. Everyone's blowing about how many penalties, and that's a really good example of how you just look, everybody within the game is looking after their own self-interest. But after that game, Craig Bellamy sat down and said, well, we've obviously got to have a look at ourselves, how many penalties we gave away. And Cameron said the same. We've got to have a look at ourselves. Now, privately, so that was the public message. Don't blow up the referees. Don't go on about it. Don't sit there and say the game's crap because they don't like how many penalties have been blown. Craig Bellamy's attitude was, we've got to have a look at ourselves and why we're giving away so many penalties. Privately, he went behind the scenes and he spoke to the NRL about why, what's happening, the change in interpretation, all the rest of it. That week, the NRL sent some referees down to Melbourne's training so the referees could work with the Storm on what they could no longer do that they were doing, what they needed to change, how the referees were now officiating the game. Now, that was a good, positive, proactive style of administration. There's not enough of it in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, look, shit! But when people sit there and bag the game, this is just my...
Is this your I call bullshit? Because we got a bit off course there.
Yeah, go drive another car. If I'm going to drive and... Mate, if I'm going to go and watch it, and if I don't like it, there's 100 channels. Go change it. But don't sit there and start bitching about it, right? Don't go to that restaurant anymore. If that's not it, go look after another game. Go support another game.
That's human nature. No, because you don't do that, Gord, because you love the game. People whinge because they love the game, and the reason they whinge is because they want to get back to the game they love because they see it changing. So right. I can understand people having a whinge.
Can you? And they want to drive a car without, what, airbags and that as well? Is that how they want to go? I got no idea, brother.
Frizzell's Audi. Hoops.
They do.
Hoops.
We always get onto the Frizzell's Audi.
Yeah.
I tell you what, she gets more advertising out of Triple M.
She does. How many Audis have you got in the garage down at Little Bay?
Beck, we all want to.
How many have you got in the garage?
Mate, I've actually got a Sutton's Holden from Sutton's Ironcliff. Oh, okay, so there you go.
HSV?
Oh, look at you.
No, it's just a nice Commodore. Sutton's Ironcliff is the place. Now, what about you,
Hoops? I actually don't think. I think it's just a body kit. I think you got it from Lakemba with a body kit.
No, from Lakemba? Why would I get it from? There's no Sutton's aren't at Lakemba. Hoops, what is you I call bullshit? What is your I call bullshit?
I'm calling BS on the NRL using the rule book and hiding behind the rule book around the Billy Slater try that should have been a no try. Billy's played over 300 games. If he gets up and he knows that he did not intentionally, and that's the key word here is intentional, he did not intentionally drop kick the ball. He meant to kick the ball. He accidentally drop kicked it. That's not a try, so that's BS.
Bullshit.
I'm also calling BS on Manly's handling of the Jackson Hastings affair. I think Jackson, clearly, he has made some mistakes along the way, but I think he's been hung out to dry the way that the club has spun the narrative here, thrown him under the bus on day one, said all his teammates refused to play with him. Well, we now know that that's not true. Daly Cherry-Evans has since been fined $10,000. So it takes two to tango, Maroon, and I think young Jackson might have got stitched up a little bit.